I'm looking out there. I see all of this wonderful sunlight. So I'm hoping it'll be that way in the morning when it's time to fly. Some of you have known some of the challenges I've had through the years trying to get out of here. Amen. We love you too. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, we gave you this bookmark here. Just so you have something just to remember us in prayer. I take these now to different places when I go. The folks had this done up. I think somewhere on the back here they told me they had a typo or something. Some of the newer ones don't have it. But just remember us in prayer, please. In our travels, I know next month we'll be in South Dakota. The following month we'll be in Panama City, Florida. Possibility after that we may be back overseas. We were supposed to go to Malaysia for a conference for the International Foursquare Church. I know towards the end of the year we'll definitely be going back to Kenya for sure, and then a few other places. Brazil has invited us, Brunei is calling for us, and then a few other places there in West Africa. The organization that we're with, a group called World Ministry Fellowship, they were kind enough to ask me to become the director of missions, and we were pleased to volunteer to do that. But there's a lot to be done, folks. There's a million villages at least on this planet that still have no Christian presence at all. And it's folks like you make it possible for folks like me to go. Some of you in here probably do go and would go. But if you're unable to go and you send me to go, then I'd be happy to go and represent you and tell folks about the King overseas. So praise the Lord. Let's open the Bible and go to Luke chapter 2 and go directly to work here, beginning with verse 25. I want to work on this question this morning. Have you received Christ? Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy words. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. Notice verse 28 again. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. The question we're working on is, have you received Christ? Let's sing this prayer. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen, amen. No matter where you begin in your studies of Jesus Christ, you're going to always be excited about his birth. The birth of Jesus is one of those accounts that really illustrates the providence of God. By providence, I mean God's ability to foresee occurrences before they happen. And then his desire and design to make provision for them as they occur. The birth of Jesus is about a couple who gave birth to a son in some very poor circumstances. But nevertheless, those circumstances of his birth were attended by supernatural activity. If his birth demonstrates anything, it's an example to all of us that even though you may be short on funds, that does not mean God's arm is too short to work on your behalf. God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. I'm sure that Mary was quite excited to hold that baby in her arms and behold the face of God. Sure, her heart was filled with gladness. Joseph, no less, was ecstatic about the fact that the fulfillment of the dream that he had had when the angel came to him and said, "This is a particular situation created by God." I'm sure he smiled when he saw that child. They had no idea that God was speaking to shepherds in the field, letting them know that you need to get to Bethlehem to see this thing. They ran to the city of David to see what God was doing. Well, about a week later or so, on the eighth day, when the Jewish male children were to be circumcised and they received their name, it was during that period when Mary was at work, loving on the Lord, looking after that child, awaiting the time of her purification's fulfillment, they made their way to Jerusalem, where the temple was. Jerusalem was a majestic city in Christ's time. It was one of those places that I'm sure little children in the rural parts of Israel dreamed of going to. Maybe if you grew up in a rural area somewhere, maybe at some point in your past days, you longed to be able to go to the big city to see the tall skyscraping buildings. Everybody in ancient Israel knew that the greatest building on the planet in their mind was that of the temple. White stone on the top of the hill, it could be seen from anywhere throughout the city of Jerusalem. It was a place whose history went all the way back to Genesis with Melchizedek. So important is it in Scripture. The Bible speaks very plainly that even in the end of the age, it still will have prominence. Jerusalem was a very important place in the history of the Bible. It was a very important place in the history of the Jewish people. And there were feasts that drew people from all around the world to come and worship. We don't know how many thousands, how many millions of people attended the feast. We do know that men were supposed to make their way there at least three times a year. This place was Jerusalem. It was the holy city. It was the place where God's house had been established. Now, of all the people that were in Jerusalem at this particular occasion when Jesus was born, we're given insight into one man. His name was Simeon. Luke was a stickler for details. He enjoyed giving us names. He spoke about things and wrote about things that other gospel writers did not always cared to mention, but I like the fact that he tells us this man, Simeon, was just and devout. The word just meaning righteous. It's also used in Luke chapter 1 to describe Zechariah. Luke uses it a few more times in his gospel. Someone that is just is someone that is righteous, someone that is walking in accordance with the principles and ordinances of Scripture to the point that they're blameless in their own mind. They're doing everything they can to keep the word of God. To say that someone is devout is to say that they're devoted. They're dedicated to God. Devout and dedicated to God. Loyal to the principles of Scripture. He was a man in Jerusalem that was just and devout. How many of you men in here are like that? How many of you young men, how many of you older men can say that you're just? That you're devout, that you're dedicated to the things of God? If I were to interview some of your family members, your children, your grandchildren, would they be able to tell me, yes, my father, yes, my husband, yes, my uncle, he's a person that is righteous in accordance with the word of God, wholly dedicated to the things of God? If they can't say that, then you ought to think about this man Simeon today. Just and devout. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these other things will be added unto you. Put first things first. Do like Simeon. Don't live so far from God that when God deals with your heart, you can't even find the temple. But live close enough to God that where you know the direction to the house of God. Did anybody have to drag you to church today? Did you come willingly? Were you glad to get out of the bed this morning and come out to the house of God with the expectation that you also might see Christ? Then you're a man or a woman like Simeon. Simeon, a man in Jerusalem. The same was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The question then is, why would a man like Simeon need consolation in Israel? Israel was under the dominion of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was brutal. Those soldiers were tough. Those soldiers were mean. And they did not always treat their subject peoples with fairness or with tact. I mean, the Romans had pioneered crucifixion, a very terrible way to die. Hang a person's body up there along the road, allow people to pass by and see it. About a century or so before Jesus was born, there was an uprising amongst the Romans, and a former slave had broken loose and tried to cause the other slaves to rise up against the people. And when the Romans finally put the revolt down, they crucified more than 140 people along the roads. They said they were running out of trees because of the number of bodies they had hanging along the roadside. Why would a man like Simeon need consolation? Because he's under the oppression of a people that are difficult, people that are hard. Maybe just because he lives in a community of sin. Well, if this teaches us anything, it teaches us that even people who may live in privileged circumstances, even a holy city like Jerusalem, or even visiting Jerusalem, they still need comforting words sometimes. How many people in America need consolation today? How many people in California need comfort today? How many people in this county need comfort today? You ever thought about this morning when you walked to church or drove here? You ever thought about the number of homes you passed where families were falling apart behind closed doors? Maybe there was a wife begging her husband to come to church and he didn't want to come, and they ended up in an argument and a fight, and she was so distraught about it, she didn't even come to church. That somewhere in this community, somewhere in these precincts, there's some young man or young woman that's praying, saying, God, do you even care about me? My parents are on drugs. I'm having to look after my own siblings because they're not doing it. Lord, is there anything you can do to help me? The husbands, the wives involved with spousal abuse behind closed doors, you passed hundreds of distraught and saddened people today when you came to church. They're waiting for some consoling. They're waiting for comfort. Christ is the only one that can provide that. The scripture says the Spirit of God was upon this man, this gentleman. It says it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death. Interesting. He received a promise. The promise was not that he would be comforted by having a better life, or that he would be discomforted by learning about worser circumstances for his life. The only thing God told him was, you're not going to die until you see Christ. That's all he said. Some things that God tells you doesn't change your circumstances. It only changes how you live in your circumstances. Imagine that, to hear a word from God that death will not be able to grab hold to you until you have envisioned and embraced the very one that everyone is longing for. Powerful. You will not die till you see the Lord's Christ. I've had many people tell me they're believing God to live until the rapture occurs. We buried some of them. But imagine receiving a word from God that you will not die until you see the longing of your heart. And the scripture says in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. This was a gentleman sensitive to God, sensitive to his leading. You should be that sensitive. When you open up the Bible and read it, you should pray, God, give me, Lord, the understanding that you want me to have, but also, Lord, help me to recognize how your Spirit is leading me as I'm reading the Scriptures. Develop a sensitive ear and pray that. Well, this is what this gentleman, he was like that. He came by the Spirit into the temple, which shows you that the Lord, he prods us. The Lord, he guides us. The Lord, he leads us. The gentle movements of God upon his people. It's not always a thunderous voice. It's not always God closing a door to force you in another direction. Sometimes it's God simply putting his hand in the small of your back, trying to lead you gently in a particular way. Even Samuel heard the Lord say to him, "Tomorrow about this time, there'll be a man from the land of Benjamin who will come. He you will anoint to reign over Israel." And then the next day, then it says, the Lord spoke to him in his ear and said, "This of whom I, the one of whom I spoke to you, anoint him to be king." That man walked close enough to God to hear what he had to say. Peter walked so close with the Lord that when Ananias and Sapphira lied to him about how they handled their finances, Peter was able to say to them, "You haven't lied to me, you've lied to God, the Holy Ghost." And they died. Are you that sensitive that you wouldn't want to grieve God? So sensitive that you're worried about the spiritual emotions of God. You don't want to grieve God by saying something that's ungodly, by doing something that's ungodly, by watching something that's ungodly. Sensitive. When you're insensitive to God, those are the things that will keep you from being led by the Spirit to come to the temple. I can tell you why people don't come to church. Sinners don't come to church. It's obvious, because in church you worship God. They don't worship God. Many carnal Christians don't like to go to church often because they're carnal. It's not in them to love God. It's not in them to worship God. They have no passion. Their emotions are tainted by the things of this world. But when you truly fall in love with God and you become dedicated and devoted to him, you're like Simeon. You're led to the house of God. You can't wait to get to the house of God. I spring out of bed on Sunday mornings, because it's an opportunity to see the saints one more time. It's an opportunity for me to tell the story of Jesus Christ again. I don't want to preach to stubborn people. I want to preach to people that are sensitive, people that pray, people that love God and have an ear to hear. Stubborn people have a very difficulty being led by anyone because they believe they're right. One time in the journal for the Institute of the Naval Institute, their own magazine, they have these stories of these ships that are out to sea. A gentleman by the name of Frank Koch was writing a testimony in there about how he was involved with some maneuvers with some ships, and the weather was fairly bad. They had been out there for a number of days, and he said that while they were out there, the visibility was so poor, he had to stay up on deck. The captain stayed on the bridge to try to keep an eye on all the activities. And one of the watchmen shouted out and made the statement to him. He said, "Light bearing on the starboard bow," which in military terms is simply to say, "I see a light in the front part of the ship." Well, the captain then inquired, "Is the light steady, or is it moving astern?" Well, if it's steady, then they think it's a fixed light. If it's moving astern, then it's likely moving rearward as the ship is progressing. So the young person said, he said, "It's moving astern." He said, "Okay, it looks like we're in the path for a collision." So he called for the signal man and he said, "Send this message to that vessel." And he said, "I want you to signal the ship and say, we're on a collision course. Advise that you change course 20 degrees. Well, the reply came back to that captain, "It's advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. That captain wasn't pleased with that. He sent back, he said, "I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. It came back. He said, "I'm a seaman. I'm a seaman first class. You change course 20 degrees. The captain was furious because of that. The man's reply was very simple. He said, I'm a battleship. I advise you change course 20 degrees. That message started flashing again in that reply, and all it said was, I'm a lighthouse. I advise you. Think about it. You change course. Folks, when God begins to deal with your heart and deal with your life, you've got to understand, you can try to maneuver your vessel any direction you want, but you're in trouble if you run into God. You're going to run into something that's not going to move. God is not going to change his opinion or his attitude. And when God is on your trail, you can't get away from him. He puts his finger on your heart. You turn to the left. It's still there. You turn to the right. It's still there. You lay down in the bed. It's still there. You go to sleep. He's in your dreams. You're in the car. He's still dealing with you as you're maneuvering the steering wheel. You cannot avoid God until you change course. But if you do change course, then you can expect blessing. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. This man was sensitive to the Spirit. And when that child was brought into that temple, notice in verse 28, Simeon, he went over to where that baby was, and he took the baby up in his arms. I love that. He happily received the Savior. That goes back to our question. Have you received Christ? Here was a man that was just and devout. Here was a man that believed in God. Here was a man that could read the Hebrew scrolls. Here was a man that no doubt attended the synagogue, but now for the first time, he's able to lay his hands on Christ. Changes him. Are you religious? Do you come to church because people tell you to come to church? Were you raised in church but never made a profession of faith in your life? Were you raised in some other kind of religion but never ever have known God? It's about time that you finally embrace the Savior. Going to church won't get you to heaven. Receive him. Take him. And then you do the second thing that Simeon did. It says that he blessed God. Anybody receives Christ, they can't wait to worship and praise God. Yeah. Christians are the happiest people on the planet because we have the happiest person living inside of us. We bless the Lord and we glorify him because we've received Christ. Have you ever looked at people in other religions and how they worship God? You ever seen that Hindu man when he sits there, Indian style, red dots and stuff on his forehead, and he's chanting with smoke and incense, going in different directions? He looks like he's miserable. Have you ever watched the Muslims when they're up there preaching and they're standing in the midst of the mosque and they've got a bunch of people out there and there's such anger and a scowl on their face? None of them are happy because they haven't found the one who brings happiness. And that's only Christ. He's the only one. Take him in your arms and then you find you begin to bless God. Now Jesus is no longer a baby. He's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, he dwells at the right hand of the Father, but yet he comes into our heart by faith, and when we receive him and have him, then we also are able to bless God. It doesn't matter if we're 5 years old, 50 years old, or 90 years old. Have you received this wonderful Savior? Well, he says in verse 29, I'm ready to depart in peace. Because there was something inside of him that was a bit uneasy, a bit anxious. There was something missing in his life until he saw Christ. And if you're looking for peace in your life today, you're only going to find it with Jesus. Amen. If you want your marriage fixed, you need Christ. Young person, if you want peace in your life for a change, you're going to need Christ. Because the Lord is the one that provides that for us. As long as we're in sin, as long as we're running from God and not doing what he wants us to do, even if it's a calling that's on your life and you're running from God, there's hostility between you and God. And God's working to bridge the gap today. Do you understand what happens when you become a Christian? You receive peace with God. Yeah. It's like the peace treaty has been signed in the blood of Jesus. The man or woman that's running from God, that won't receive God, even though they don't acknowledge it, they may not even believe it, they're still at war with God. You say, well, preacher, I was never at war with God. I was indifferent to the things of the church. I didn't really attack Christians. I didn't speak evil of Christians. I just didn't talk about it at all. I just tried to avoid them the best that I could. It's because in your nature, you were at war with God. But when you accept Christ and the blood comes and removes all of your sins, it's at that point you finally have peace with God. Get a good night's sleep. Not worried about who's coming through the door trying to kill you now. You sleep peacefully. But then you also receive the peace of God. Because when Jesus comes into your life, he brings something with him. Peace. I've seen many troubled men, many troubled women only find peace when Jesus Christ comes into that life. Yeah, he's able to do that. I preached in a place one time and we were in a school auditorium, gave an altar call. A number of people came down there to give their hearts to the Lord. There was a lady came down there. She's about my height, a little bit wide. When she got down there in that altar, I asked her, I said, you coming to receive Christ? And out of that lady's face came a man's voice. I thought it was a woman, it was a man. Kind of like a transvestite or something like that. I began to ask a few questions, and as I asked these questions, he or she just started crying. Crying. And I said, words to this effect, I can't imagine how troubled you are in here. But I said, right down here, on your knees, you'll find an answer. And if you're honest and sincere with God, you'll get up and you'll be the person you're supposed to be. See, no doubts about it. In that same meeting, there was somebody who had formerly played professional football. Life got mixed up with drugs. The whole time I was preaching, I saw as he was crying. He'd been a star football player for the University of Delaware, and I didn't know who he was. But he came down that aisle, gave his heart to the Lord, wept his way right into salvation. Folks, there's no way to find peace without God. Yeah. I've seen people try it all kinds of different ways. Have as many women, have as many men that you want. You're never going to have peace until you have God. Change jobs every 9 months if you desire. You're not going to have peace until you totally dedicate yourself to God. Switch schools as often as you want to. Run from God. Avoid the preachers. Avoid your friends when they call you. Stare at the caller ID and refuse to pick up the telephone. I promise you, you're going to be a troubled soul until you finally lift your hands and say, God, I surrender. Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to your words, because my eyes have finally seen your salvation. What have you seen today? What have you heard today? What is it about Jesus that makes him so exceptional? I can tell you. It was God that became man, lived without sin, climbed up on that cross, placed himself between us and the wrath of God, received it for you. There's not a one of us in here right now that's perfect. We know that. I'm as deserving of hell as you are, but for God and his grace. That grace came and it forgave me of all of my sin. There's stuff up under the blood that I wouldn't want anybody in here to even know about. I was involved with it. I was a sinner. And I have no doubt if God pulled back the curtain on your life and revealed some of the things that you've done, you'd hang your head and bow it. Just close your eyes and cry also. But folks, when Jesus comes into a person's life, he brings the forgiveness of sin that's necessary to believe that you are forgiven by God so that you can start over. It's a new life. It's a joyful life. Man in Africa one time went to a village and couldn't believe he saw a man stretched out there in the field. He had him tied up in stocks. Well, the African culture in this particular area, if you're accused of a crime, very heinous crime like murder or something like that, they lay you out there and allow you to be judged by the sun. If after 21 days or more without food or water, if you still have your right mind and are alive, they deem you innocent. But if you start going crazy, they believe you're guilty. Well, this missionary came to this village, and this gentleman was stretched out there, and he wasn't moving at all. He was just kind of mumbling, and his eyes looked like they were kind of rolled back up in his head. And that missionary, before he got on his motorcycle and rode out of there, he said he went over there to where that man was and knelt down by him in that field. And he said he just prayed a very simple prayer. Said, "Oh God, please save this man in Jesus' name. Deliver this man in Jesus' name." That missionary got on that motorcycle. Brother Greenaway rode about maybe 20 miles to go back to his main village out of which he worked as he was covering that area there in West Africa. Said 3 or 4 days later, in the middle of the night, he said he hears some noise outside. There's somebody knocking on the door there at the hut. Said inside where he was at, there's a little bit of moving around trying to figure out what's going on. Said he opened up that door and there stood a man, African man, in that midnight darkness, barely had a stitch of clothing on him. But that African gentleman said to him, said, "You don't know who I am. Do you even remember me?" He said, "No, I don't." That man said, "I'm the one that you knelt down over and prayed a few days back in that field." He said, "They had left me out there. He judged by that sun." But he said, "About a half hour after you left, the clouds rolled in and the rain began to fall. And he said, my mind came back to me. And he said, I've walked these 3 days to come to this hut just to ask you, who or what is this Jesus that you were praying about?" Folks, that man met Christ and he finally found peace. He is the only answer for people like you and people like me. Yeah. Young people, think about it. There's nobody but Christ that can answer all of life's questions for you. He's the one that brings you joy. He's the one that'll help you find a spouse when you get big. He's the one that'll help you get good grades. He's the one that'll guide you so that you'll be able to be a good citizen and you'll be able to lead a lot of other young people to Christ. Nobody but God can do that. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning.